And as we began our journey of anticipation and our journey of reflecting on what the season means, not all the things that we do and all those things, but really understanding that those things are okay as long as we understand why and let the meaning really come into that. And so today, the very first day of Advent, we remember the scripture that says that it was in the darkness a light shone. That Jesus, when he came, was a light that came to the darkness. And we need to realize that we are all lost. We are all broken. And the word, the first beginning of glimmer of Christmas is hope. That no matter what we are going through, no matter where we are, there is hope. And as we remember that, we light the flame of hope. That no matter what we go through, when we are caught up in the busyness of the season, or many times we are overwhelmed by memories of sadness and despair, and many times this time of year, it just seems empty. We need to let the light of God begin to be relit within us. And it may start small, and that's okay, because that's what hope is. Hope is not necessarily the final glory, but it's the flicker of hope, and that's all we need. Jesus came to just give you a flicker of hope, to give you a handhold to hold on, but it's because he came that we can do that. And we remember the hope of this season. Let's pray that God would just let that word of hope usher us into a new season this year. God, as we start this season of 2018, God, so many years after the very night that you came, God, your hope still lights the way for us. God, you did not come just for them at that time, but you knew each one of us. God, it says that you knew us even before the earth was created, and you already made a plan. You knew the day that you would come to this earth, and you knew this day, today, that you would speak to our hearts. And the same hope and purpose that you had from the beginning, God, you desire to place in our hearts today. And I pray today that this light, that this candle represents, that the same flame of hope would be lit today in many of our hearts, that we need hope. We need to understand that there is a purpose of why we do what we do. And I just pray that you would light that within us, that you would begin to just give us that little seed to take one more step, to keep going on this journey, to know that you are our hope. And our hope does not disappoint us. This hope is not a hope that will disappoint us, that will leave us. But God, it will lead us through. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Home. The word home means a whole lot to each one of us in different ways. Sometimes home is that place you long for. It's someplace you wish you could go back to. It is something that is nostalgic. Maybe it's that home that you remember. For some of us, it's the home we experience. Sometimes today, home is just that place just to, you can relax. You go home and rest. Home really has two different connotations. A lot of us remember the old song, over the hill and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go. And that reminds us of home, because home is kind of that place where grandma would make the treats. And it was a place of fun and carefreeness. And it seems like everything was done for us, and grandma would tuck us in, and it was that special place. It was a kind of a place away from your life where you could kind of escape and have those moments that were kind of in a dream. And that is what home is to some extent and in our life. But then there's also the other side of home, that home is just a place where I can just be myself, where it's not all dreams and sugar cookies, and sometimes it's just a place of me, and I can relax, and I can just take a load off, and I can just let go of the things of life and just kind of find a moment of a breath between chores. And both of those are true. And both of those have the allure of home. And we need to understand that God desires to give us both of those. That He knows that we were built, we were made for a longing for home. He knows that. And some of us, we miss that and we don't have that. Maybe the home that we have right now is not either one of those. And we are looking for that home. God knows that. God created us for home. It was why He made the world. Because God was not satisfied with His home without us. He looked, even when He created the world, and He said, "Let us make man in our image." Because He desired a home. God Himself desired a home that we fulfilled the very desire of God, that it was together that we find that home. And in that, we need to understand that the home that we long for, we're not coming through here. The home that we long for is the home that we were created for, and that is the very presence of God. That we were created to be at home with God. And that's the problem. That's why there's such a longing for home, that even in the moments that we experience at home, they seem short-lived. And so many times, it seems like we can't hold on to them. The reason is because they're not really our home. We were created to be at home with God. I want us to look at our scripture this morning in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. Now we're going. It starts and it says, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, that we may walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples and shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.'" You see, there's coming a day when we will finally come home. We will finally experience the home that we've been longing for, and we don't even realize what we've been longing for. There will come a day where together we will all say, let's go to the house of the Lord. But it won't be a house of the Lord like this, where we come and worship together. It will be the actual house of the Lord. We will be able to go and see Jesus and sit at the table together with all the nations and all the believers and laugh and know that there will be peace, that there will be a world in the way that we only can dream it could be. There will be no more fear. There will be no more hatred and judgment and criticism, but there will be life and love and encouragement and joy and laughter. It'll be home. We look forward to that, that there's coming a day that God promises we will be at home, and that home will be with God. And we think on that, and that should be our hope. That is our hope. But here's the thing, that when we talk about that and we look forward to home and all that God is preparing for us, there's one thing that we need to remember. And that is, home is not here. This world is not where that will happen. Many people believe that if we just serve God enough, that God will make this into that home. And I want to tell you that right now, this world is not where that home will happen. Those promises that God has given us of a day that we will come into that will not happen in this life. We look around, and that's not hard to believe, because this is not a place that we can truly find home in. We've tried, and there's been moments of peace and moments where we can do some good in this world, but how many know that we've seen time and time again that it is short-lasting? And if not other people, then we ruin it ourselves. How many know that we have tried to create those atmospheres, and yet many times we are our worst enemies? We destroy the very things we long for in relationships, in our own pleasures of life. We try and provide for ourselves, and yet the very things that we provide for and supply ourselves leave us empty. It will not happen in this world. And we have to come to that understanding. If we are ever going to understand the hope that God gives us, you have to understand that this world is not our home. In Hebrews, it talks about those that have gone before us, and it talks about those that in faith for God gave everything they had. And it picks up in verse 13, and it says, these all died in faith. All those that went before that looked forward to what God had promised. It says, they died in the faith, having not received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, they have acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. For people who speak thus, they make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. See, our heroes of the faith, they were looking for home. They were just like us. They longed to go home. But they only saw it from afar. But the home that they were talking about, if they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out of, they would have had opportunity to return to it. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. You see, all those that have gone before us, they have looked forward to a home. They've encouraged us that there is a home that God has prepared. But they knew that it was not on this earth. It was not anything that we can achieve here. And so they continued to look forward to it. And it said, because of that, God was not ashamed to be called their God. If we will begin to put our hope in God, he will gladly receive that. And it says that he prepared for them a city. And he has prepared for us a place. We just need to understand that it's not here. It is when we begin to let go of this world as our home. Now, I'm not saying everything in this world is bad. And we should just be disgusted by everything in this life. That's wrong, because God created this world and he said, looked upon it and he said, it is good. But it is because of our own sin that we have broke it. This world is not bad, but it is broken. And it is in that brokenness that we cannot find home. And so we look forward, just as those that have gone before us looked forward to that home that God has prepared for us. But here's the next thing that we need to understand, that not only is this world not our home, this life is not our home, we are just travelers through it, we are looking forward, but you need to understand that the path home is not easy. Yes, we're looking for home, and I need to tell you that if you're heading home to that promise that God has, that's our hope, but the path to get there is a hard path. We need to understand that. We need to embrace that. We need to understand that to receive the promise that God has made us, we've got to go through a dark journey. It's at the end of a tunnel, because it's that tunnel that we created. It's the pain and sorrow that we have inflicted upon the home that he made for us from the very beginning. It's a hard road. Now, here's the thing. God didn't make it hard. We made it hard. Now, God will use the hardness of the road. He will take advantage of the hardness, but I want you to understand, God did not create the hardness. And so many times we get angry at God. God, where's this home that you promised us? And yet all I feel is loneliness, disappointment, despair, emptiness. And God understands that, but God did not create that. Our anger is misplaced. Our doubt in God is misplaced. Instead, we should be looking at who caused that, which is our selfishness, the sin of this world, the powers like Satan and the demons that deceive us. Those need to be the focus of our anger. I will be angry at the sin that dwells within us, that pulls us away from the goodness of God. 1 Peter, and I love this chapter, this verse. I read this at our Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday. We need to be reminded of this. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." There's our hope. He has given us a promise that he saw this home and he saw that it was broken, so he made us a new one. Thank God for that. What a good father he is. He has given us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And it is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power, you are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. You see, we have a promise that God has given us. It's a glorious inheritance. But there's those little words, but for a little while. For a little while now, in this life, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. There's going to be testing. But God in his goodness, though he did not choose to inflict us with this, it says that in his goodness, he will transform that affliction. He will take the trial that was meant to destroy us, because sin in its very essence has no other purpose but to destroy. It says that the wages of sin is death. But it says, blessed be the God who takes the death of this journey. And instead of destruction, he said he will use it to purify us, to test us, that we would be like precious metal that will come through the fire, stronger and more precious than before. He is not the cause of our pain, but he will use the pain if we will keep our eyes on the hope that is set before us. We need to understand that. This journey is hard, but through the hardness of this journey, we will receive the promise of God, which is the salvation of our soul. And that is our hope. That is what keeps us going. Romans 8, verse 23, again, encourages us in this way. It says, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even us who God has given us his Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? You see, if this world was all there was, there would be no hope. But you see, we don't have hope in this world because, thank God, the pleasures of this world are not what I hope for. There are better things. See, too many times we settle for the hope of this world, but that's not hope. It's just getting by. But he says, hope is the thing that we eagerly wait for. Are you willing to wait for it? Are you willing to look forward to it? It says, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. God says, are you willing to embrace this road that is hard? Are you willing to look for the hope of a promise? Are you willing to not let the hardness of this life overwhelm you to where we get angry at God, or we give up on God, or we doubt God? But that's only because we have lost sight that this world is not our home. It comes back to this. We need to understand that this world is not our home. But there's something better. There is something greater. If we will wait patiently, if we will endure, if we will suffer the way that Jesus suffered, that we might be exalted. I want us just to think on that. No matter what you're going through, no matter what deceptions and thoughts the enemy throws in your minds, and that's where our biggest struggle is with our own emotional detachment from what the reality of what God says is. Can we remember that this is not our home? Even when it gets hard, even when the journey seems like it's going the opposite direction, when God isn't even there, we need to let the flame of hope of Christ come into our heart. And sometimes it has to be a choice. It's not going to be a feeling, because I don't feel like it always, but I choose to believe that God has brought me this far. He's not going to leave me here. This world is not my home. But one day, we will see him. Now, here's the problem. Many times, we forget and make this our home. Because it's a hard journey, because it's a long journey, because there's so many twists and turns, a lot of times, sometimes we just get caught up and we just settle down. And we forget that we're heading someplace else. And we look around and this seems like a nice place to stop. And after a while, we just seem to forget. And we put down roots and we make ourselves at home. The problem is when we make ourselves at home, we begin to forget the God who is calling us. We begin to be infiltrated by the things of this world that all of a sudden seem to be greater than what they really are. The things that seem to offer us promise, we don't understand that they are actually the things that are enslaving us. I'm going to tell you what it actually is. It's the same experience as an addict who at first takes that first snort of crystal meth or heroin or whatever drug of choice, and it seems okay, and I'm just going to experience the fun of it. And the pleasure is so great, but yet it slowly puts tentacles into us. To where even when, man, I'd like to leave that, but we can't leave it anymore. It has become part of us. And then it has so involved us and it filled us that's the pleasure that we seek, that the pleasure of this world, no, that is what I need to have. I need those things that I desire, whether it is kids or home or money or things or prestige or activities and pleasure. They become the things that we so focus on that we need that then we even get mad at the person who tries to come and take us to rehab. How many have seen an addict? Even though the drugs are killing them, their teeth are falling out. Their body is deteriorating. And yet they only crave that pleasure. And when you try and step in or someone comes in and says, I'm going to take you and I'll remake you. How do they respond? They respond with anger. They respond with outlashing. And we do the same thing to God. When we forget that this is not our home, we begin to react against God. We'll get angry at God. Look what God has done. And now all of a sudden, God is the only source of all my hurt. When God is the one that is reaching in our hurt that we have established from ourselves, our own addiction to this world is the one that is destroying us, and yet God is only trying to pull us out of that. And yet we hate his boundaries that he puts upon us. We hate his limitations that it seems he's taking life from us. And yet he is our only source of hope because without it, this world will destroy us. Too many times we have forgotten that we need God more than we need this world. And his word and his laws and his boundaries are not a burden on us. They are our salvation. They bring hope and life to us. He tells us in Romans 13, verse 11, he says this, besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We need to understand, we need to wake up. We have fallen asleep. We have forgotten that we're supposed to be heading home. The call for home is coming and we are sleeping in the forest. And if we don't get up, we are going to be overtaken by the destruction of this world, and we also will be destroyed. In Philippians, Paul reminds us in chapter 3, verse 18, it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even with weeping, that they have become enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. They have set their mind on earthly things, But our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not love the world or the things in the world, 1 John tells us. For the love of the Father is not anyone in the person who loves this world. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. You see, we need to not forget that this is not our home. We need to set our mind on heavenly things rather than earthly things. Yes, this journey's hard, but God will bring us through it. We have to decide, who are we going to embrace? Are we going to settle down in this world which is going to be destroyed? Or are we going to look and begin to start to walk the journey? Get up and move. Don't stay here. And that's what brings us to Christmas. Because here's the thing. Christmas, the coming of Jesus, was for one reason, to remind us there's still a home for us. The whole reason he came was to wake us up, because he knew that we had fallen asleep in this world. Jesus came to the world to remind us and to call us home. He came to bring us home when we couldn't go any further, because we are all stuck in this world. But Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to come and I'm going to bring you home. Will you follow me home? And that's why Jesus came. He brought the light into the darkness to remind us there's something better. And the only way that we come back is by hearing the call of Jesus. This is the words of Jesus in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, because here it is. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. In other words, I want to bring you home. I want to bring you home. That's where you were meant to be. And where I go, you know the way. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, or how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I'm the way home. Christmas is the dinner bell. It's the bell ringing, Jesus coming to us and saying, there's a way home. I'm here to show you the way home. If you will follow me, if you will embrace me, if you will receive me, there is a way home. This morning, I'm going to tell you, in the midst of the hardship, no matter what you're going through, when things have not gone well and you don't understand why God would allow them to go that way, maybe you can't even understand how God would do that. Understand that God didn't. We need to understand that it is the sin of this world. It is the brokenness of our heart. It is the deception of the enemy of our souls that has brought us to these things. But God has not left us in there. The light of hope has shone because Jesus came into this world. Christmas is a call to come home. Now, I know the journey home is going to be hard, but don't let the hardness of the journey be the reason that you stop. That's why Jesus himself took the journey. He showed us that it can be done, and his journey was harder than any of us. But he did it to bring us through whatever we face. The despair, the disappointment, the hurt, Maybe it feels like we are being led to the slaughter. Don't get angry at God. Don't let the anger of God be the deception that enslaves us. But let's hear the call of Jesus. I'm preparing a house for you. I've gone before you. And if I am doing that, I'm going to come and get you. There is a promise that Jesus will come again. Jesus will not leave us here. He didn't just come the first time. He said that he will come again. This is what he said in Matthew 24, verse 36. Concerning that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered an ark. In other words, they had made it their home. They had forgot that this wasn't their home, and they began to just settle down. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. The message today is there's a home. It's not here. But let's be ready, because God is coming to take us home. He has prepared a place for us, but we've got to stay awake. We've got to get ready. How do we get ready? We simply keep our eyes on Jesus. We begin to love him. We begin to embrace him. We seek him and we follow him. And if we do that, one of these days, we will hear the trumpet sound and we will open our eyes to the home that we have been looking forward to. Let's bow our hearts.